You might like to turn in your Bible to the first epistle of John. First epistle of John. And perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, we thank you. Thank you that we can. Thank you that as you rule and reign, God, over all, in all, in the light of all, and as you do all of that, God, here you are. And here we are, as you do it. And our God, we thank you. So we're looking to you to outwork your word. Help us in every way. And our God, Spirit of God, just thank you. In Christ's name, amen. And remember in our study of 1 John, God is telling us and helping us understand that what he did on Calvary's cross in the 21 chapters of John to tell us who he is, and knowing and understanding that he's God, you want to be able to exercise that relationship. 1 John is there to try to help us understand that relationship that he has made possible, and having made it possible, that which he has done, so that we can exercise it here and now. And therefore, in the light of all the opposition and all that everything takes away, God's awesome person. So, in 1 John, we share together that the believer is to receive Christ as their Savior, is to be walking in the light as he is in the light, 1 John 1:7 in that. And verse 3, he's to be enjoying a unique fellowship, a wonderful fellowship with God. And that fellowship is to be enjoyed, verse 4, these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. So, we're to be enjoying and exercising a unique, wonderful relationship to God, and that God in Christ has made it possible, having come in the flesh, born in Bethlehem of Judea. And therefore, that is critical to be understood, and that is the spirit that is the spirit that is against that Antichrist. That God, not a question of God, it's a question of God being in a man. How can God be in a man? Why does he have to be in a man to go to the cross and die and be our Savior? So, he can't die as God. He could die in his perfect humanity. Now, so therefore, the mood and movement in darkness, we're living in it, it's get darker. And the system is there, as we mentioned, Antichrist and all, is to be recognized that the world around us isn't interested in light. It's in darkness. It isn't interested in light. It's interested in everything that isn't bright. How do you mean? If you leave God out, it's all wrong. All you have left is evil. The absence of God, the absence of good, that's evil. There is no. So you can't leave God out of the picture. So in the process, and in the John, 1 John chapter 1, chapter 2, remember in verse 26, he was writing, among other things, Antichrist verse 18, etc. Verse 26, these things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you, that seek to go and deceive you, to lead you astray, to take you in another direction. And in the process of doing that, in another direction. So God, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, is going to go and help us. So God, as the believer, abides in God's life, in God's love, and the flow abiding like in the branch in the tree, and just enjoys the flow of life, so that he has the fruit, etc. And therefore, as we're to believe and enjoy, as we shared in Sunday school, unique relationship to God, freed. We're freed from everything that complicates and clouds and deceives us, or even our old nature. So we're free to even enjoy God, his wonderful liberty. God sets us free, so there's nothing, he doesn't give us license, he sets us free. So what? We can enjoy 1,000% God's wonderful person. That's what he's done. So don't let anything get so complicated, you'll lose the simplicity of the relationship that God has, the branch to the vine abiding now. And therefore, God is able to go and in all and for all and at all times. God is able to go and do wonderful, wonderful things. And the Spirit of God knows, the Spirit of truth, brings us all the benefits of Calvary's cross, brings us all the benefits of life. In chapter 2 and verse 20, we read in chapter 2 and verse 27, God helps us to know and to have everything. So the little boy, little girl growing up has everything. They haven't got it in experience, but they already possess it in the sense that they have it. And the parents are there to see that they get there. So, God, we come to know the Lord as our Savior. And God does a wonderful thing for us and saves us in a way so that he's going to be everything. So do I have all the truth? Yeah. I could have the dictionary. I don't have a dictionary. You may not have it on top of you there. But we don't have a dictionary to get the words, but we have the God who knows all the words. And so what are we doing? We have all the words, just like you'd have all the words in a dictionary. You just have to have them. You have to use them. That's what it's for. You have God's presence. God has everything. So it isn't a whole, it's really easy to understand that God has provided everything for us. And therefore, when we come along, as we come down, as we share together, in the process, God's going to do a wonderful, wonderful thing. And in doing what he does, it's a very righteous thing that he does. And therefore, we share together in chapter 2 and in verse 28, and now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we shall not be ashamed before him at his coming. So therefore, we're looking and understanding God is going to do, he's doing what he's doing, and he tells us he's coming. So therefore, we're just going to go, and we're waiting for him to come. That's what we're doing. So waiting for him to come in a most wonderful way, and we're going to be doing that. That's what you should be doing. That's what a healthy heart, a healthy believer, is going to stay fresh and fruitful and full by just abiding. God's going to be reminding them and keeping them that God is going to do what he said. He's doing what he says, and he's going to keep doing it. So therefore, when we came to verse 29, if you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. And we share together that's how we got saved. Is he the right one to the right reasons to do the right thing in the right way? Absolutely. He's the Savior. He's God. There's no competition. We don't have to go to the Greek mythology and stuff. We don't do gods, pantheism, Mormonism, Confucianism, Shintoism, whatever you want. And you line it all up. So you line it up. There's no God. No God. No, just you, God. So we're either going to know you brightly or not. And you've given us your word so that we can know, so that we can understand in a most wonderful, wonderful way. Now, so therefore we know you're right. And as we walk by faith, your faith, our faith is counted for righteousness. We aren't right. We aren't trusting our righteousness. We're trusting his. That's why we know we're saved. We aren't saved because we know we're right, because we don't know we're right. And so we don't know we're saved if we're trusting ourselves. We think we're saved, but then you'd have someone else say you're not saved, back saved, back and forth. No, we're not trusting anything about anybody, anywhere, anyhow. We're trusting God, who makes us, has given us his righteousness, so that we truly can be a child of God. And therefore, we know we're saved. Why do we know we're saved? We're trusting the right person in the right way. By faith, we can please him. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. So therefore, we're going to trust him. That's what we're going to do. And we're going to abide. We're going to be looking for his appearing. And we're trusting God. And we ought to be growing. Chapter 2, verse 12, 13, 14. We ought to be growing and knowing. That's what we ought to be doing. So now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, over now in the light of it, so God's going to do. And we know we're saved, as we just said. Therefore, in chapter 3. Now, chapter 3 is going to hit the nail. Boom. Going to tell you, just said what it says. You need to be growing. You need to be knowing you're saved. Wonderfully knowing you're saved. Behold, 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 to see, the word to see, it's a command. Behold, see, recognize, understand. Understand what? Understand what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. To bestow, bestowed upon us, to put upon us. Therefore, what manner of love? From who? From God? From where? From where? What kind of love is it? What kind of love? It's a very foreign kind of love. What manner? It isn't of this world. So therefore, I need to understand that afresh. God loves us. We just read. We're righteous. We're looking for his appearing. We're going to be with him. And God wants us to be able to enjoy him. And grow and know and grow up as children of God. He wants us all to do that. Now, if you said that and said that, you're a child of God. Not only a child of God, God has made you and given you a unique oneness to himself. Now, once you start saying that, I'm saying we're all children of God. See, God created us. That's true. But we aren't all saved. So when? What's so difficult, God? Well, that God, behold, what kind of love is it that God could find his home in your heart? That God, who created all and we're in his presence, that God would give me and you and the believing heart is such a relationship. What kind of love is that? What planet is that from? Where is it from? Ah, it's from God, not love. That's why we mention all the time, every now and then, human love is just that. We love you, and we love bananas, and we love pizza. I don't know how you love pizza, but you love pizza, and you love this, and we do it. That's what we do. It's a very loose word. We say, I love you. That's cheap. But God's love is not of this world and not of our language. It's something else. So God, what kind of strange love is this? That in verse 1, Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. What kind of love is it that we should be called the sons of God? Now, putting that together a little bit, remember what in Matthew, you don't have to turn there, in Matthew in chapter 3, the baptism of our Lord by John the Baptist when he begins his public ministry. When he begins his public ministry, and after all of that is done, before he is tempted by the devil 40 days and nights into the wilderness, and they come to the end of chapter 3, verse 17, and God makes the statement, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." This is my beloved Son. Now, when you're reading chapter 3, verse 1, you got, "Beloved, beloved, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." God loved. God so loved us. God loves us. And you know, as you think of it and understand it, God in the process, that we're to have a unique relationship to God that marks us as saved, the vine and the branch. We're to be like him in a most wonderful way. When you see the branch, you see the tree as using a tree. You see the vine, you see the branch, you see the tree. You see the tree in the vine. Look at the vine, look at the little branch, you can see the tree. Look at the branch, you can see the tree. Vice versa. Either way, you see the branch and the tree. It's the same. It's the same. What kind of love is that? That's God's love. God brought you into a unique relationship. The relationship that God the Father has with God the Son. He brought you into that relationship. Not God, not the Son of God. The Son of God was born in Bethlehem of Judea. And the Son of God was given by the Spirit of God a perfect human person. And then God took that person born, Jesus of Nazareth. God took perfect humanity and brought perfect deity together and brought a oneness. Why? Because why is it so important that God was born in the flesh? Because, and that's the whole argument with anti-Semitism and everything, God really can't. Ah, but he can. And then you have the mystery. What is the mystery? Colossians 1 and that, the mystery. God became flesh and blood, and God, John 1:14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. God became flesh. So what? He could save you and me, us, in the flesh. That God could save us in the flesh. That God could come into my flesh and your flesh. And that is a love that's not of this world. No one does that. We can get married and we die and we separate. We talk about love, children, loving family, people. We do that. But all of that disappears. All of it's temporary, fragile, disappears. But to have a relationship to God, to have such a relationship that is eternal, that doesn't change, to have that relationship, Christ in you, the hope of glory, Colossians 1:27. It's a mystery, right? Yeah. No one knows it. You can't be that. I've told you that to myself and all of us for a long time. No one, you'll find it hard for believers to believe that. That's what I'm telling you, for real. Because how far would you go? If God is truly, when you received him as your Savior, you really did. God, who sits on the throne. God, who's God? In Christ, that saves us and makes us, gives us wonderful liberty, freedom to enjoy his awesome person in an awesome way. How far do I have to go in the light of the human decisions, in the light of the problems in the world? I can lay in bed like this, and so can you. And we can lay in bed and what? Look to God. And in looking to God, what can we do? God is running the universe from your heart. You say, yes, he is. Yes, he is. There's no way. If he isn't running the universe out here, if he's running the universe out here, if he's in here, the same God who's running the universe out there is the same God that runs the universe in here. Say, no. Oh, that's a strange love. And that's what's so hard to capture. Without faith, you can't do it. You just have to understand because it's true. It's true. And we're struggling with it, not you guys, of course, but others. Understand, grabbing it. Let alone people that don't even think about anything like this. I'm just telling you, it's real. That's what's strange about it. That's why you can't, I gotta keep going. You can pick it up. It's all there. Being saved is an awesome thing. Do you understand? Well, I'm going to go to heaven. If that's what you think heaven is, I'm going to be saved to go to heaven. Well, you're going to get there because that happens to be where you're destined. But being saved means God took you and made his home, made you his temple, made you his body, made you his vine, made you his son, made you his child. Do you understand? His. H-I-S, his. That's awesome. Yes, it is. It's very awesome. And therefore, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called sons, the word sons, children there, children of God. Now see, that said, we can say I'm a child of God. What do you mean? I'm really a child of God. I'm really a child of God. No. God, I'm really a child of God. We're saved. That changes things, doesn't it? If you're really a child of God, you're really the King's son. You really, really are. No, I don't know. Say, oh, it changes. It changes us. That's why it's strange. Now, keep going. You catch it, I hope. Now, God help us. So what kind of love? Emphasize love, God's love. God's love in God, God loves in God's love in Christ. Christ and God in Christ, Christ and Christ in you, in the believing heart, in a most wonderful way. So having said that and keeping that in mind, so God so loved the world. In order that purpose, that we might be called the children, the sons of God. The emphasis is on the children. Children of God, we are called, putting the first. Children of God, we are. Emphasizing children of God, we are. And we have been begotten, born rightly, by the Spirit of God, spiritual birth, we become children of God in a most wonderful, wonderful way. We become human. Humans become, and by God's wonderful saving grace, become part of his wonderful, wonderful person in a most wonderful, wonderful way. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, and so we have that fellowship, that family, that relationship. So, as you would know, do it a little bit different here to see. Go over with me, please. If you would, over to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. And watch it, see it. Let it sink in. That's why Hebrews 2 says 3. How shall we escape? That's believers. How shall we escape if we so great, if we miss out, neglect, become indifferent to so great a salvation? It's unbelievable. Ah, that's what it's meant to be. That's what it's meant to be. Not just go to church, fulfill everything, and you did it. No, it's to be understand that God did something wonderful. He made you and gave you. Well, read it. John 15. John 15, if I can. Picking up, please. Chapter 15, picking up in verse 9. I'm going to get you verse 8 a little bit. Remember, abiding, always abiding, simply, wonderfully, just abide. Herein is my Father, John, Gospel of John 15, verse 8. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. As the Father, in other words, the relationship, the vine and the branch, you're abiding in it. Verse 9. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue, abide ye in my love. So I love. My Father loves me, and Father hath loved me, and I love you. God loves you. Behold, what strange love is this? That's right. Verse 9, verse 10. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Our Lord Jesus Christ says, listen, I and my Father are one. I enjoy the Father's love, and the Father enjoys my love. We have a unique relationship and a most wonderful, wonderful way to enjoy God. A oneness, a unique oneness. We have that oneness. And that's what we do. And so when I honor my Father and his word, you honor me and my word. When you honor me and my word, you're abiding, letting the branch feed your words, feed the heart. Let the word, your words, not my words, feed the heart. And the heart is fed. And the heart is what? Flourishing. It isn't my thoughts that makes me righteous. It's you, God, that gave me righteousness. It's you that did everything. And I'm resting in it. I'm letting the vine, the tree, vine, enjoy the flow of life. God, Jesus said in his perfect humanity, I enjoy the Father and his life. And because of my death on the cross, you enjoy the Father in me because of me as a child. You're a son of God. I made you. I saved you. I made you as many as received him. To them gave me the right, the privilege to become children of God, even to them that believe in his name. God, you know, what are you going to do? You enjoy, I enjoy my Father. And so that I enjoy my Father, and because you're a child in me, you can enjoy the Father. You can enjoy him. I enjoy him as a son. You enjoy him as a child of God. Enjoy him. What strange love is that? A oneness, a unique oneness. When? Now. See, hang on. So, having said that, and you know, Romans 5 and that, when we were enemies of God, that's when God loved us, when we were enemies. We were dead in trespasses and sin, and God just plain old saved us if we would be saved. He died to save us, and he loved us when we weren't lovable. What's lovable about you? Is that right? What is there lovable about us apart from God's grace? He said, you're dust. You came from dust. You go back to dust. You are as the flower of the field. You are as a blade of grass, here today and gone tomorrow. Now, what's so wonderful? No. What's wonderful is that God created you to honor, to know him. And God is going to take that vessel of dust. God is going to take that believing heart and make him a child in Christ Jesus, because of Christ Jesus. He's going to make you a legitimate child of God. And that's something else. What kind of love is that? You won't find it anywhere on planet Earth. God has done that. And so people say, I want to be loved, you know. I'm hiding in my little thing here and hope someone finds me and loves me. People do that. They do. I'm hiding in here. Will someone hunt me down and love me? See? And you got that. People have, it's a very bad thing. Anyway, all of that. But God says, listen, I already know where you are in there. You're a bad person. I am. Awful bad. I am. Do you need a savior? Oh, no. I don't need a savior. Are you bad? Bad, yeah. I just need someone to love me as I am. As I am. Well, God said, no, I'll say it to you again, said God. Are you a bad person? Yes, I'm a bad person. Are you bad enough to be saved? If you're smart, say so. You need to be saved. And I'm going to save you in the most wonderful, wonderful way. How wonderful. And no one does that, God. God said, I do. God does it. That's right. He saved you. Now, in the process, and therefore, God, what are you going to do first for Ephesians 1, 6 and that? God has what? He made us his children, and he has made us accepted, highly favored in the beloved Son of God. In Christ, he's given us grace. He's made us highly, highly favored in a most wonderful, wonderful way. So, having said that, so God, you're going to go, and here we are, young children. Your children looking to you in a way we need to trust you. So therefore, in the light, and we're family. We're family. Uh-huh, family. Now you say that. Say if I say this, no one believes this either. The Lord Jesus said in John 12 and 50 and there and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. He said what? Behold, if you do the will of God, you become a child of God thus. You're my brother. You're my family. You're my mother, my sister, my brother. You're my brother. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 11. I sanctify you and set you apart. Turn it there. Why not? And you keep reading it, but to let it lock itself in a most wonderful way. That's what you got to let happen. Chapter 2, Hebrews 2, verse 11, directly in light of the context. For both he that sanctifieth and sets apart to be holy, consecrated, they who are sanctified are all of one. God, when you set apart Christ as the Savior, the anointed, consecrated one, and when I received the consecrated one, I became consecrated, sanctified, and holy. I found my holiness, my righteousness, my everything in Christ who died for me. He provides me the life and rightness of God the Father so that I become a child of God in a most wonderful, wonderful way. Therefore, I'm sanctified. And therefore, let me finish. Verse 11, who are sanctified, all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. Brethren, family. Family, legitimate family, that's right. Not the fatherhood of God or Unitarianism or something. No, You become family, a legitimate. I belong, you belong, if you're saved, in the family of God, in the house of God, sitting at the table of God, sitting on the throne of God, in Christ. Your family, be it. Not you're going to be it, you are it, or aren't you? I'm going to be it. Since when? What year are you going to become? What happens if you live 10 more years? What year are you going to become a child of God in the family? How long does it take a 2-year-old again to know it's in the family? You just know. You don't understand it. No, you don't understand it. But boy, you're in the family. You're in the family. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, 1 John. We didn't get very far, I was sort of just wondering, but hope you got a little bit in the process. Therefore, verse 1, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children, sons of God. Here, therefore, the world loves it. They love to have you around. Remember reading it and saying, therefore, the world knoweth us. What's the little word? N-O-T. What do you think that means? You say, I'm saved. God's in me. They don't know 2 cents about that. You could say it till you're blue in the face. They cannot know it. Let me finish the verse and then all of it. Therefore, the world knoweth us not. That's why you can't go around and look around and say, our Lord Jesus Christ said he was God. He made it clear he was God. For 3 1/3 years, he said, I'm God, 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 God. I prove it every single day. And what do? They tried to kill him and crucify him. That's what they did. I don't, you can't be. And they beat him up. Bloody, bloody, Isaiah 53, a mess. He did it. I don't believe you're God. As you'll see that tonight. Now, you got the idea. So, what are we looking, God? We're looking, but you're going to go and do a wonderful thing. And we know, and because we know. So therefore, God loves you. The world doesn't understand. The world doesn't experience. People don't understand. They can't. They're on AM, not FM. They're blind. They can't see in the dark. They need light in their heart. They don't have light in their heart. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 6. They need light. They need to receive Christ as the Savior. And therefore, God's love, not understood, not experienced, being a child of God, and therefore a relationship that's super duper real, but no one understands it. No one understands it. That's right. It's foreign. It's out of this world. It doesn't belong in our little world. God, what you're doing? That's what it says. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, so the world does not know, does not understand, does not recognize. It's not coming to know. It has no interest in knowing. It has no interest in. They just crucify Christ. What are they going to do? You're just a kook. You're nothing. Some kooky guy, you know. God's in you. God really, God. No. I'm really a child of God. I belong in the family of God. I am. If I want to really get you to be irritated out there in the world, I happen to be seated at the right hand of God in Christ Jesus. Now that should irritate you. I not only said I was God in me, but I want you to know I'm seated right where he is, right now. Now, what are you thinking? Oh, there's an asylum up here for you, you see. I told you all those things. Years ago, I told you that story. If I live long enough, I told you everything there is ever about me. But years ago, I told you, I was hitchhiking when I was in California going to work, and I had to hitchhike from Norwalk to L.A. I didn't have a car for some reason. And back then, you used to be able to thumb a ride without getting taken to Arabia or something and crucified or something. So, and doing that, and the guy picked me up, you know, that's how you travel, a lot of way. And I said, thank you for doing that. And we were trying, I was witnessing, well, give tracts and witnessing. And I said, yeah, I'm a child of God. Yeah, God's, I received God as my Savior. He said, what'd you say? I said, I received God as my Savior. God found his home in my heart. That's, I'm saved. Stop the car, get out. And that's what I did. And the next guy, I didn't tell him anything. I didn't tell him anything. No more. I'm not telling him. You got the idea? Look at it again. In the process, God's wonderful, wonderful grace. And thus, therefore the world knoweth him not, because, for end of verse 1, because, 3, 1, because it knew him not. And how can you have light in your life without Christ? And it's only another believer that can even begin to grasp that relationship. And even dear believers, unfortunately, don't do that. There's even seminaries that go against that. I'm just telling you. And we miss out. The devil is one smart rascal. I give him credit. He knows how to get us. To get us to believe, you don't want to believe the unbelievable. You don't really believe that. That's what he said to Eve, and all the way down the line. And God says that. You really, 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 you have to work at being saved, etc. You have to do this. You're not really fit to enjoy God's awesome person in an awesome way. Yes, you is. Yes, you is. You're able to do so in a most wonderful way. And therefore, look at chapter 3 and in verse 2. Beloved, there we are. Beloved, like Matthew 3 and 17. This is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. Verse 2, beloved. That's right. The strange love makes us beloved. Beloved. And therefore, I'm going to close with that. Now. What do you think now means? Just to help tell you. Just a thought. Go look it up in your dictionary. Look up and see what now means in English. Now. Are you the sons of God? Now. That's what I just told you a minute ago. Be it. I'm not going to become it. I am it. And so are you. If you're saved, then stop playing religion and churchianity and all the other junk that does what? Leaves you with nothing. God has done an awesome thing. It's an awesome thing. But you have to be saved to enjoy it. The system around us, our old nature, and everyone around us is an enemy of that truth, because they all got the same old nature we do. They don't believe. And all God asked is, what do you mean believe? To let God do what he's done in going to the cross, in creating us, in his image and likeness, in going to the cross, in not only being our creator and our savior, and to receive him as our savior, to know him. For what? Forever. To be a child of God. Now, are you children of God? Then be it. Then be it. And don't sit there so it's like you're bankrupt. You know, we're just nobodies that have become awesomely somebody in the somebody, and therefore enjoy it. And don't listen, all kinds of People are saying all kinds of stuff, and you keep listening to 85 different things some people do. Why don't you just stick to what he said? God so loved you that he gave his only begotten son. How many commentators do I have to hear? How many programs do I have to hear? How many anything do I have to do? Simple English. If Jeanette says sometime to me, supper's ready. Now, what do you think I do with that? I go get a dictionary and look up what is supper and what on earth and why would she say that now? And then I sit there and an hour later, I go, no, I got the message. Now your children of God, be it. And as we keep going, it's a super section, but you're getting a little. I'm just trying to help you understand. God just said, listen, don't get seduced by the system out there. The system's going to take it away from you. You're really, really, really saved, and you're really, really, really saved now. That's all. Thank you for your patience. Our Father and God, we look to you to deal with us. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. God, I don't know how to, Spirit of God, yeah. Thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen.